in our studio in Johannesburg is Mark Bloomberg. Mark, it must be a bit lonely there. I mean, it's just you and Craig, and I'm sitting all the way across in England in Richmond, and I can't get on a plane here. So please keep the anchor seat and the studio warm and entertaining for me, okay?
Isn't it wonderful technology? You're in London. I live in Israel, and I'm in South Africa. We're all over the world.
Mark, it's such a pleasure to chat with you. You are the assistant producer of Ashes of ID, and you're also in the beginning stages of another documentary series called Jihad. If I can just ask you to start us off by telling us a little bit about each of those programs and what brought you to actually produce them.
Okay, so let's start with Ashes of Identity. I met up with Eugene Levine online, and we got chatting, and he needed some assistance because he's Dim Bomb Films is productions is in the US, and he was planning on coming to Israel to interview to with a crew certain subjects, and he was short of subjects, so he asked me to help. And so I became assistant producer, and I found two subjects to be interviewed, and it worked out excellently. It worked out very well.
And what is the whole story about when you say the Ashes of ID?
Okay, it's a different look at October 7th. It's focusing on a lot on the forensics, how to how they identified bodies, because they took months and months, and the latest technology, because all we had was ashes. They were so severe and so evil in their elimination of the victims of October 7th. So we interviewed Zaka members. Zaka is the people who
They pick up the body
the
parts
body
and
parts
collect
and
body
everything. Yes,
parts
so they
after explosions, yeah.
and to identify the victims from that was a big job, because they used specialized chemicals to really burn the victims, to really do a good job, basically. And there was so much else, and the evil, the furious the evil that was done on that day is it's going to go down in history as some of the worst evil that was ever done, and we are exposing that. We're bringing up the awareness to the world through documentaries and trying to.
Mark, weren't there actually people and bodies that Zucker could not identify?
Yes. But Eugene will go more into detail about that. So I don't have too many details in that. But my position was to find somebody who was a hostage, and we got to interview a guy named Louis Har. He was a rescued hostage. If you remember the incident where the army went in and rescued three hostages, he was one of them. Louis Har, he's an Argentinian Israeli who loved to dance. You probably saw a lot of background on him. And
And what was it like for you? What was it like for you interviewing him, meeting him, and covering his story?
it was what can I say? It was so it's walking on eggshells, because these people are traumatized for life. And on the outside, he seemed sort of functioning, but these people who are the rescued hostages and the hostages who've been released, their lives are destroyed forever. The PTSD that they're going to have to deal with for all their life. So it was emotional for me to meet them, and I met his daughter and his grandson, and how what they went through, and the stories of the time that he was underground in the tunnels, and it was absolutely horrific. And then I also found a subject. We were looking for somebody who was in Kristallnacht. Now, Kristallnacht was 39, it was November, so the chances of finding somebody alive in in Compos Mentis were very slim. But I found a guy named Walter Bingham. And he was absolutely perfect. He's the oldest journalist working journalist in the world. And he was 14 when he went through Kristallnacht, so he was the perfect subject for the movie. And this is, you know, just one of the few interviews that that happened. And so we're still busy on that movie. We're going to do another shoot, and it's very exciting. Yeah.
When do you expect that to be shown, particularly available to South African audiences? And what do you think market will offer us that other movies that have concentrated on similar themes have not done?
Well, this is concentrating on the absolute horror of what was committed on that day and the evil. I don't know how, you know, the other movies have, the documentaries have explicitly shown what was done on that day. So we really want to bring awareness of what we are up against. And that's partly on the other series that I'm working on myself, which is called Jihad. So I can't really talk too much about it because we're at the beginning stages of Jihad, and I was looking for a director, and I'm putting the people together before we even go and try and find the funding. So it's really at pre-stages, but it's very exciting.
And you tell us what Jihad is about, at least, or what you hope to have as the message of the film.
Okay, so what it's not a documentary, it's a documentary series in 6 parts, and we are going through all the stages of the caliphate, how it started 1400 years ago, right through each series, how this was planned. We're in the third Jihad now. This is it. This is the end. You know, this is what they've been working on for all these years, but basically, it's mostly focusing on the indoctrination and the propaganda that has been so effectively executed by Iran and Qatar, and fooled all the world, and using social media, all the tools, the modern tools, to create a new caliphate. So basically, we are fighting a biblical war in 2025.
Mark, when were you most recently in Israel, and what is the sense in Israel? Connected to that, I wanted to ask you if you were there during the 12-day war with Iran, or
yes,
if you're going to mention that in your movies.
Well, I live in Bavli, which is part of Tel Aviv. So I was there for all the time, the period, which was, I have to admit, I was very scared. But, so just to give you a brief idea of what happened, the technology sensed that a missile that was being fired. So we had like 9 or 10 minutes. So we had the first siren on our phones. And the whole of the Israel had those sirens. Those sirens were screeching. They were they're so loud. And this is at 3 a.m. in the morning. So you can imagine how you're shocked into preparedness. And then, you could get dressed and you could make your way downstairs to either the bomb shelter in the building, which my building did have a bomb shelter. But if I had enough time, I would go 100 meters down the road to the area bomb shelter, which had air conditioning, which didn't have the damp smell, and it was more civilized. They had bathrooms there and water. So that was more civilized. But what I actually found, personally, because to get out of my own fear, I try to help others. So, for me, I'd live alone, and it was pretty easy for me to get down the stairs. But you can imagine what it's like for a family, a mother and a father and 2 or 3 babies, to gather them together and get them downstairs into the bomb shelter. So, I'd just walking down the stairs, I'd see them struggling, and I would just pick up a baby, and we'd get them to the bomb shelter.
Okay. Do you think that I know you were a documentary maker before the current events, but I know for me, and perhaps that's why I'm asking you, do you find that making movies about these, about the ashes of ID, Jihad, is a way also for you to process what's going on in Israel and make sense of it?
Yes, that's a very good analogy, but it's also, it's an obligation. I feel obligated to work on bringing awareness. But my objective is not just to bring awareness to the Jews, because that's just preaching to the converted mostly. So there's two aims what I'm trying to do. One is to re-educate the Jews around the world who believe that Israel is evil and committing atrocities, because they are the ones who they're actually victims as well. So I'm trying to get them out of that victim of propaganda. The propaganda machine of from Iran and Qatar and the money and the jihad and the Muslim Brotherhood, all that is so effective that the image that caught my attention was what started my interest and shock was seeing images and video on TV of Jews shouting Free Palestine, not knowing what they were saying, not knowing the consequences of the actions. And I hated them in the beginning. I thought, how could you be so stupid? And then I realized that, they are victims of propaganda. So that's that I felt that, if no one else is doing it, I've got to try and do it myself and try and contribute to bringing attention and awareness first to the Jews, and then hopefully we try to get others. Yeah.
Documentary producer Mark Bloomberg, thank you so much for what you do. And as you say, it's a calling, not just for you personally, but to actually get messages out there. And for those who are not aware, one of the other productions that you have put together is Legends and Legacies, which is currently on Amazon Prime Video. And it's not put together by you. Sorry,
I'm
the wrong information.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Mark, thank you for coming in and chatting with us. And
my
we'll
greatest
meet you again
pleasure.
When you're in Israel.
And come for coffee anytime. I'm in Bavli waiting for visitors. Okay. Thank you so much.
I think we'll all take you up on that. Just perhaps right now, coffee in Israel is maybe not.
I'll be going back on Tuesday.
Casual invitation.
I'm flying back on
all right,
Tuesday.
Enjoy your time in
Thanks.
South Africa.
Okay.
All right.